So this is our last evening, and so it's appropriate that I'm going to be talking about living in presence. We've talked about what keeps us from presence, and we've talked about the bridges into presence, and we've talked a little bit about presence too. And I want to talk now tonight about living in presence, because it is possible to live in presence. Maybe not every second of one's life, although surely there are people who may be in that state. It is a deeper state, and things pull us out of presence. And the less familiar you are with presence, the easier it is to get pulled out by those things in our environment, by people, by your own thoughts, by feelings, stress, different kinds of things that are going on in our lives, in our world, pull us out of presence fairly easily. So we have to learn how to stay in presence even in the midst of certain stressors. And we all have plenty of stressors. So how to stay in presence amidst these busy lives that we all lead? I'm feeling like I have to add this here because I, in fact, don't have a very busy life or a stressful life. And that is a choice I've made. It's what naturally has evolved out of presence, really. And that's one of the points that's so important to make, is that when you do change what drives you in your life, and when you start living from presence, and that is driving you, your life can change rather significantly, or maybe not so significantly, depending on what it was like before. And people aren't always willing to make those changes, those necessary changes. But when you are seated enough in presence, those changes come naturally, because presence wants those changes. It drives those changes. And so just as the ego drives you to have a certain kind of lifestyle and to do certain things and to be very busy and to accomplish certain things, to say yes to certain things, presence might make other choices. If you drop out of your egoic mind, you might very well make different choices, and your life could look very different. So living from presence could, in fact, be quite a different experience than living as you have in the egoic state of consciousness. Of course, the ego wants to scare people into thinking that you won't survive if you move out of your egoic mind, that you won't make a living, that you'll end up on the street, that you won't be happy, that you won't have relationships. It scares you with these ideas, none of which are true. But how else can it keep you involved with it but to tell you lies? Because the truth is actually really good. It's what we have all wanted. We've all wanted the happiness and the peace that lies in presence and in living a lifestyle that is aligned with presence. Now, spiritual people sometimes think that if you are spiritual enough, if you are enlightened enough, that you could be in any kind of a relationship and you could do any kind of work and you could be in any kind of environment and you would feel awesome no matter what. Well, that actually is a myth. It really isn't true. For one thing, presence wouldn't choose to be in just any relationship. It wouldn't choose to be in just any environment. It wouldn't choose to be in just any line of work. Essence or presence has a certain plan for every individual, and it moves people according to that plan into certain positions in society, into certain jobs, into certain lifestyles, into certain locations or certain relationships. If you're listening to the egoic mind, you might not make those choices. You might make very different choices because the ego has its own ideas of how to live your life. And those ideas are based on conditioning, largely on what other people think you should do, which ends up being what you think you should do too. So the egoic mind and the life it would have you live and the life it is guiding you to live through your thoughts can be very different and much less fulfilling and much less happy than the life that presence would have you lead. But presence allows you to make that choice to follow your egoic mind and live that life, because there's no harm done ultimately. You might suffer more, but you're always learning when you're suffering. Any choice you make from your egoic mind, you learn from. So there's no harm done. This is a free will universe, and presence, essence, your divine self, honors your ability that you've been given to choose to listen to your mind or not listen to your mind. So before people come to these teachings, before they wake up in a sense to the truth and realize what's going on with their mind, that their mind is causing their suffering, they may not really have much of a choice but to pay attention to it, because they don't know there's an alternative. But once you come to these teachings and you begin to have a taste of presence and essence, you begin to trust and realize that there is another way to live. And it's a much better way. And there are plenty of people living that way, at least part of the time, much of the time for some. But you won't find out what that life is like or would be like unless you gain some mastery over your egoic mind, which primarily means just not listening to it. When you don't listen to it, the only alternative is to be in the silence that is presence. And in the silence that is presence, there is rich wisdom and guidance that comes to you in a nonverbal way. Presence doesn't generally use words. It's very rare that essence or your divine nature speaks to you directly in words. If you're a very developed channel, you get more of a sense of that. But most people, if they do get any words in their head from essence or presence, it would be just a quick phrase. Turn left. Don't go there. I've heard of people receiving brief advice of that sort. Sometimes it saves their life. I, in fact, had an experience where I was at a stoplight and the light turned green and I was ready to go. And I actually heard the voice say, look left. And sure enough, there was someone running the red light. And if I hadn't looked, I might have been in the intersection. So occasionally, if it's necessary, we do receive words in our mind from our deepest self, but it's very rare. When we do receive those words, it feels very right and good. There's never a scariness about them or judgment about them or anything like that. All of those kinds of feelings, judgment and fear, can only come from the ego. So this that you are does not guide you with fear, with judgment. It guides you with very subtle nudges, subtle desires. There are deeper desires on the level of essence that are very different from the ego's desires. And you can tell the difference between the two kinds of desires, because the ego's desires are usually for the same types of things. Desire for money, power, comfort, status, good looks, security, control. That's what the ego desires. And those desires show up in the mind as I want, I have to have, I need. Essence's desires are on a very deep level, and they aren't generally specific. They aren't generally desires for some specific thing, like a desire for a specific house. But they might show up as a drive to move in a certain direction, a drive to go to school, a drive to play an instrument, a drive to paint, a drive to read a book. All of us feel many drives throughout our day that come from our deepest self. If we're not busy lost in our mind, we'll notice these subtle urges more easily. They'll come to the forefront and we won't miss them. My experience is that my intuition over the years has gotten so strong. It's like something I can't possibly go against and something I have complete clarity about. So that's what is possible. The more you listen to your intuition, that the subtle knowings, however they may come about, sometimes they are like downloads and knowings. Sometimes they're urges and just movements in a certain direction, a sense of yes, a sense of aha, and an open-heartedness or a love or excitement or joy. That's how spirit moves us, with those very positive, subtle sensations. So you have to tune in to this more subtle realm that exists in the present moment, that is possible to experience in the present moment when you're present. Thoughts are much noisier and loud than this subtlety of presence. So you have to be willing to turn away from thought and to listen with a more subtle sense of listening. An openness, a receptiveness, a curiosity, a yes. In a sense, it's almost a prayer or intention. Please guide me. Please tell me. I'm here, ready, and listening. And the more you do that, the more natural it becomes that you are just noticing what is arising in you. Because in any moment, what is going on are two different things. Thoughts are arising, and subtle urges and drives and ahas and desires are arising deep within you about how to move in your life. You see, this presence is the life that is living you. It is alive in you. It is all that is alive. It is all that is here. It is alive in you, moving you, to the extent that you will allow it to move you. It has a plan that it is unfolding through you. It just doesn't tell you ahead of time what that plan is, so you don't know. And the mind is very uncomfortable with not knowing, so it makes up a future just to get a sense that it knows what's going to happen. But it doesn't. The mind doesn't know what's going to happen. No one knows what's going to happen. But you don't need to know. So living in presence is very much a place of not knowing and being okay with not knowing. And that's what allows you to stay in the place of presence and to hear what the heart wants. There has to be a willingness to not know. And not pretending that you do know. And this willingness to not know includes a trust that this beneficent life that is living you is unfolding your life perfectly, in the most perfect way, more perfectly than you could ever do from the level of mind. And I've seen this in my own life. One's life can become very, very wonderful when you listen to presence. It doesn't mean that you won't have some stress or difficulties or challenges. Of course you will. But you will have access to all of the qualities of your divine nature that will allow you to deal with those challenges successfully and as easily as possible, and to learn from those challenges. And that's all we're meant to do. We're not meant to have perfect lives, perfectly easy lives. That's not the human experience. The human experience is one of growth, where we're meant to have certain challenges. So no matter how enlightened you are, you'll still have challenges to face. There's still evolution. There's still growth that happens. But you will have access to the resources, the inner resources that you need the patience, strength, perseverance, courage that you need, because those are qualities of your true nature. And so this is a very, very safe place. It's a very safe place. But we have to learn to stay here, to stay in this place. It's really difficult to do that in this stressful world, in this egoic world, where we're surrounded by egos and lots of activities and demands. Most people have lots of activities and demands. And there's very little chance that you'll be able to stay in presence if your life is filled up with busyness and doing, doing, doing. Doing constantly is the ego's way of doing life. If you listen to your mind, you will have a to-do list that you will be busy doing, doing, doing. And that to-do list will never be empty. It'll never be finished, and you will never feel like you have enough time to just be, or to meditate, or to relax. And you will be rushing through your activities instead of being present to them and enjoying them. You'll be rushing through them, not tasting them, not experiencing them, but lost in your ideas about them, or about the future, or about the past, or about whatever else you might be thinking about. So in order to be able to get established in presence, the lifestyle has to change some. You have to become convinced that doing isn't the be-all, end-all that we've been told it is. We believe that we become better people by doing, doing, doing. We believe that we will not succeed, that we will not survive, that we will not be happy unless we do, do, do. We don't think we'll be respected by others. Doing is the ego's formula for happiness, for success, for survival. But as you certainly must know, it isn't really a good formula, because something very, very important is left out, and that is being. When being is left out, then the doing is not informed by essence. The doing is informed by your ego. And you all know where that leads. So in order for your doing to be informed by presence, for it to be an outgrowth of presence, an expression of presence, for your life to become that, you have to stop, slow down, and take time in your day to just be. You have to put that on your to-do list. Number one, just be. Number two, grocery shop. Number three, brush my teeth. Put it at the top of your list, along with meditation. First things first. When you're right on the inside, then the outside will be much better. It will go much better. So to make it right on the inside, you need to align with presence, align with your divine self. And in order to do that, you can't live the lifestyle that most people live in this country. It's crazy. It's the ego's lifestyle. You have to change your lifestyle to some extent. You have to slow down. You have to make room for quiet time, for doing nothing, for contemplation, for inner exploration, inquiry, meditation, just sitting. And out of that just sitting and just being, out of the flow, arises things to do that are truly valuable, truly meaningful, and will be truly fulfilling. But you won't know what those things are unless you stop, slow down, and be quiet and listen, and just make space for it. This is how I've managed to be self-employed all these years. I've made room to let spirit move me in the way it wants to move me. And it's made me very busy at times. Sometimes I like to joke and say that essence runs me ragged, because it will show you what it wants for your life. It will create a life through you. You will be used as an instrument. But first you have to make yourself available for that by making space, by making the intention. And you have to move out of any fear and distrust around that in order to do that. You start by just setting aside time every day. You set aside time to meditate. You set aside time to just stare out the window, look at the clouds, to just sit in nature, or go for a walk in nature, or do some of the other things that you truly love that cause you to drop into essence. And there are many things that cause people to drop into essence. Singing, dancing, walking in nature, running, listening to music, painting, any kind of focused work that we do, like playing a musical instrument or painting a picture, will drop us into that space where there's no longer a sense of me, myself, and I in my life, which is hell on earth. That is how we create hell on earth, with all of the thoughts of me, myself, and I. Living from presence is a place where there is no sense of me. There's just a being lost in whatever you're doing. What's lost is the me. We have this great expression, I got lost in my music, or I got lost in my painting. I got lost in my writing. You see, even the language expresses the truth of that. The I does get lost in doing things. And that's the most fun thing. We love that. We love getting lost in things. It's such a relief to lose the I. All of the thoughts about me, my life, my past, my future, my desires, my needs. It's such a relief to lose all the thoughts about I. So that's what you lose when you enter the present moment, when you're just here now in the present moment and you are lost in whatever you're doing. And it doesn't have to be anything special to be lost in it. Get lost in eating. Get lost in looking at the clouds. Get lost at washing the dishes. Get lost at folding the laundry. You can get lost in anything. In fact, that is the goal. Get lost in any and everything, in every moment. What you'll find is that this that is moving you, that is living your life, it knows how to fold laundry really well. It knows how to do everything that you've been doing really well. And it'll do it more efficiently, more safely, more fluidly, and with so much more enjoyment. Because when you're lost in the mind, you're not enjoying what you're doing. This is how people get stressed out. They're not enjoying anything. They may be accomplishing a lot of things and a lot of things at once, but is that really what life is about? If you listen to the ego, you think that that is what life is about. But when you get a little older, you often question what the ego's been doing all your life, having you do all your life. You stop a moment and say, wait a minute, when I get to the end of my days, is this going to matter? What really does matter? And the answer is, happiness matters. And that's not a happiness that is a selfish happiness, a me, myself, and I getting what I want. That isn't the happiness that matters. the happiness that matters is what comes from alignment with your true self. What naturally comes from being in alignment with all these beautiful qualities of your true self, with love, with wisdom, with patience, with kindness, compassion. When you are in alignment with your true self, you are an expression of these qualities. And when you are an expression of these qualities, you are happy. That is what we all really want, that kind of happiness. That's what we're all looking for. And it actually comes not from doing, although doing can come out of this place of presence, as I said. It comes from being connected to something beyond the false self, something that is deeper, truer, something that is real, not false. The life that is living you is real. It's not false. If you align with what's false, how can you be happy? The false self is full of lies and misunderstandings and confusion and contradictions. How could you possibly be happy? It's also the enemy of love and the friend of fear. So how could you possibly be happy when you're listening to the egoic mind? So really, the only way to be happy and the only way you are ever really, truly, deeply happy are in those moments when you lose yourself, when you just drop into that place where you're just speaking, just doing naturally, without thinking, unpremeditatively. Speaking and doing come out of the flow in presence. A whole, full, complete life comes out of the silence, out of this quiet beingness that you are. Life comes out of it, if you let it. If you let it come out of your mind, then that will be what you experience. But it will take you, it will carry you forward. Life has a way of happening, doesn't it? It happens to us. All of a sudden, someone calls us up and says, hey, you want to go here? Let's do this. Or you read a passage in a book and suddenly, boom, oh my gosh, I know what I need to do now. I know what I want to be or what I want to do next. Suddenly there's an urge to create something, an idea for a book, a painting, a piece of music, a recipe. Creation comes in all sorts of forms. The being that we are loves to create. And that's one of the things that comes out of the flow when you're aligned with presence, is you create. And there's such joy in creation. And those kinds of creations are the ones that other people really respond to too, because they feel the presence, the connectedness, the truth in what you've created. Art, for instance, that expresses the truth, that expresses true nature, is powerful. Writing that expresses that is powerful. Music that expresses that is powerful. It brings people to tears. It shifts their consciousness. So to be a vehicle for presence, there's nothing more rewarding than that. To find it yourself is the ultimate in life. To express it and share it with others, even more so. Even more so. This is what we're all here to do and to be. This is the doing that is worth doing. But we have to stop doing certain things in order to get to this place where we are done, where presence is doing through us. One of the things we need to stop doing is wasting our time doing things that we hate. I promise you that washing the dishes, folding the laundry, and doing the necessary things of life are not actually things that you will find that you hate. Presence does those with joy, with happiness. There is no resistance to doing what needs to be done in life. But people spend their time doing things they literally hate, that they actually don't have to do. Those are the things that you need to get rid of in your life. Stop doing those things. If it's how you make your living, then start getting courageous enough to begin to form an intention that you move out of that line of work and into something else. Change like that, moving out of a profession you hate or out of a relationship that you hate that is limiting, that causes you to suffer and not grow. Those things you have to move out of. You can't be in presence. You can't live the life you're meant to live and hang on to those things. Presence will move you out of them if you give it half a chance. And you start first by just being honest with yourself, by saying, you know what, this isn't working for me. I can't do this work anymore. I can't do this relationship anymore. And you throw out a prayer and say, God, help me. Help me to know how to move out of this. I am ready, willing, and open to receiving whatever I need to make a change in my life now. I'm open. Admitting your unhappiness to yourself is the first step. Asking for help is the second step. And then life begins to throw those opportunities your way for something new, or it throws the courage your way to make those changes. It gives you the ideas, the courage, the strength, whatever it is that you need to move forward. Once you make it known that you are ready, then spiritual forces say, all right, she's finally ready to make a change. Let's help her do that. Otherwise, they just stand back and say, okay, she's choosing suffering. We'll let her have her choice until she's done. Then when she asks for help, we'll help. We'll bring her the new opportunities, the new relationships, the help she needs to make that change. So first, it has to happen inside of you. You have to admit to yourself that this is no longer acceptable, that the situation cannot go on and you will no longer accept it, that you believe that there is a way to change and to do something different, and that you are open and willing to find out what that is, what life wants instead. Because I guarantee you that life wants you to be happy, that life has another plan that will bring you happiness. But you have to open to it. You have to ask for it. You have to listen for it. You have to say yes to it. It's not easy to do this. I know it's not easy. I've made tremendous changes, totally leveled my life about 3 times in my life. Those were the hardest things I ever did and the best things I ever did. Because then life could reconstruct my structures into something new. And thank God those old structures got leveled. Thank God. So sometimes life can't build what it wants through you without taking away something. In fact, it's always that way. We never lose what we need. We lose what life is done with, what we're done with. And then life brings us something new in place of that. It's very benevolent that way. Life has a plan. The plan is trustworthy. The plan brings happiness. It brings peace. But we have to be willing to let go of certain things, to make certain changes. We have to say no to certain people, to people who are a drain on us, people who are bringing us down with their oppressive negativity, their egoic demands, their lack of support, their lack of love and acceptance for us. Why do we accept these situations that are so hurtful to us? There's a lot of inquiry that needs to be done in order to break away from certain relationships. Inquiry into, why has this been okay all these years for me to accept this? What in me allows abuse? What in me allows martyrdom? What in me accepts not being happy? And see that you don't have to have that run your life. You can make another choice. So there is inner work that needs to be done. In order to change one's lifestyle, there's a lot that needs to be looked at. But mostly it's just a willingness to look that is necessary. Once you are willing to see the truth and to look honestly at your situation, then you begin to receive answers intuitively. You get what you need to make the changes. You don't necessarily get those things all at once. And that's what's hard. Change is a slow process. Life is a slow process. It doesn't let us know where it's going. When we make a change, we have to take that step forward. We don't know what the next step is, much less three or four steps ahead of that. We just don't know. We can't know. We don't know. We won't know. We'll never know. We have to accept that and still take the step. It's hard, but we've been taking steps all along anyhow, just believing that the ego does know when it doesn't, and then we find out that it didn't know when it was wrong. That's one of the things we need to really clearly see, is that that which has been guiding us, the egoic mind, has not been faithful. It has not been a faithful servant. It has not been truthful. It has not been a good guide. It is not worthy of our attention. The only worthy guide is the present moment. And in that present moment, we don't get to know what's coming next. We have to just trust life. And the way you trust life is by feeling, experiencing the life that is you. And the only way you'll do that is by being present long enough to experience the life that is living you. And of course, by practicing experiencing that in meditation. You begin to trust life when you stay in presence long enough to realize how very trustworthy it is. It's a process. It takes a while. But you just have to start in that direction. There is no other good alternative. The only other alternative is to go back into the mind and live the life that it's telling you to live, which, if you look, it probably hasn't worked out all that well much of the time. The times you've followed your heart, those are times that generally work out much better. Not that there are challenges, but there is a happiness that goes along with following your heart that makes overcoming those challenges so much easier. I was poor for many, many years, really, lived on the edge. But I was happy. I discovered how to be happy without having anything. And that was a great gift to learn, how to be happy when you don't have the usual things that the ego generally needs to be happy. That's when you learn to be happy on the inside. So even limitation is a great gift. It can be. It can be when we learn to be happy in the true way. I learned that I could be happy with very, very little. And I also learned that it was very, very rich to be able to wake up in the morning and be the master of my own destiny in that day. I could choose what I was going to do during that day. How rich is that? How prosperous How abundant is that, to have the freedom to live in the flow, to do as you feel moved to do. Now, I'm not suggesting that everybody just quit their job and try that. Usually, we have to do something, and presence would have us do something more gradually to dip our toe in and, not just jump off a cliff without some sense of support that's shown up. But sometimes that's all we have. We're pushed off that cliff, and then we see. Then it's sink or swim, and we swim. And that happens in life. And that's beautiful when you discover, gee, I can swim after all. So the worst that can happen is that you do discover you can swim. So there are ways that life does support you in marvelous ways, sometimes so unexpectedly. But following your heart doesn't necessarily mean you're going to land in huge abundance, at least not right away. If you're experiencing limitation in your life, then that's the right experience for the time being. If you're experiencing abundance, then that's a gift, and that's the right experience. Sometimes people are given a job that they don't particularly love, but they're good at, and they don't mind doing, and that allows them to do their heart's desire, which wouldn't make them any money at all. Sometimes life supports us that way. It's not always that we don't have a conventional job. Following our heart might be that we have a conventional job, but it's a job that allows us in some way to do what we really love doing. So life will conspire to create a structure for you that will make you happy and that will support you in some way. And you won't know exactly what that looks like. But everyone can at least start by looking at the lifestyle they're living and trying to create more time for just being and for meditating. That alone will begin the change. And then you can take it from there. See what comes from that. What urges or desires arise? What insights arise from having made more room for presence to speak to you? It will begin to speak to you. And then you can begin to follow it more and more. And so it can gradually become more and more a part of your life. It doesn't have to be extreme. The ego would tend to say, okay, well, I have to quit everything and go live in a cave now or something like that. So you have to be careful. The mind has a certain idea of spirituality, of what it means to live from presence. Your mind will tell you, oh, okay, live from presence. All right, this is what it looks like. I have to do this. I have to do that. It's very tricky that way. So you have to constantly come back to what is true, what is really true in my being. And the way that you know what is true in your being to do is by following your joy. That is how the heart speaks to you. That is how essence, your divine self, speaks to you. It speaks to you with joy, excitement. So if the question is, should I take this job or not? If you ask your heart that and your heart leaps for joy, go for it. If your heart does not leap for joy and it closes down and you feel contracted, then that's likely not the place for you. And life has some other plan, some other possibility in mind for your support. And so you wait and see, and you remain open, and you trust that it has some other possibility, and that you'll be fine until that time that you know what that possibility is. Acting and speaking from presence is a very spontaneous thing. When we speak from presence, we don't know what we're going to say ahead of time. We open our mouth and it comes out. Now, that might seem like conditioning, or it might sound like conditioning to say, oh, just open your mouth and whatever comes out is presence. Because certainly conditioning comes out of your mouth a lot too. But conditioning coming out of your mouth feels very different to you and to those you're speaking to than when you're speaking from presence. When the words are flowing from presence, they feel good coming out of your mouth. They feel good to those who are hearing them. Everyone relaxes. There's a peace. When the words come from the ego, on the other hand, there's tension. There's a sense of smallness within you when you say, I. Mostly what happens when you begin to live more from presence is that you don't say as much as you used to. You don't talk as much. You listen more. And people feel that. They feel your presence. And they generally feel better in your presence because of your presence. And you're generally more likable to them, too. So being quieter actually works out very well. So not only do you speak less when you're living in presence, you're also likely to do less. There are things, activities that will fall by the wayside. You're not going to go probably to the cocktail parties you used to go to or you got dragged to. You might not go to those family gatherings you got dragged to or felt obligated to go to. You probably won't go hang out in a bar. You may or may not go line dancing. Who knows? It all depends on where it's coming from, what's moving you. That's what it boils down to, is what is true to do now in this moment. Not what used to be true in the past or what might be true in the future or what should be true, but what is true to do right now. And you feel inside yourself and you see. Does that bring me joy? The idea of going to that party? Is that a yes inside or is that a no inside? Simple as that. The mind will argue with that though, won't it? The mind will say, oh, but so-and-so is going to be so sad that you won't be there. And, oh, you promised you would go. And what will your friends think? And what will people think if you don't go? And you can't not go, the mind says. But you can. You can always not go. The world will not fall apart if you don't attend a party or a gathering. If you change something that you do in your life. If you change your friends, the world will still turn. Life will adjust. If you don't do that 2-hour workout a day and you do only a 45-minute workout a day, your world will still turn. Your friends will still love you. The mind makes you think that so many of the things that people do in a day are musts. Oh, I have to work out. I have to call so-and-so. I have to go to that meeting. Really? Is that true? You need to question those things, and you need to make your priorities love, peace, joy, connection, presence, creativity, whatever is most meaningful to you. Make that a priority, and your life will go accordingly. It will go well. Make what matters to you, what you love, first in your life. That's first things first. Your responsibilities will get taken care of by presence. Presence loves to brush teeth. Presence loves to go to the grocery store. Presence loves it all. The only problem in life is ego not loving everything, ego resisting everything, ego not wanting to do things. But it makes itself do them anyway, right? Makes itself go to that party it doesn't want to go to. What for? Why? Why do that? We only have one life. We only have so much energy. Make room for presence. Make space in your life. A lot of space. The more space you make, the better your life will go. This is true. This is truth. Trust it. Know it in your heart. Live this way. It's safe. It's good. You will be more loving. People will love you more. How could that be bad? To be connected with your true nature is the greatest thing on earth. It's the greatest success, the greatest accomplishment. And from there, all else that you could ever want is achieved. All else that your soul ever wants will be achieved. And if it wants great achievements from an egoic perspective, it will also move you to great achievements. Even making money and being successful in the usual sort of way. So following your heart does not necessarily mean you're going to be poor and live in a one-room apartment and, yes, but at least I'm spiritual and spiritual people don't have anything. No, that's not necessarily true. If your life plan includes being a CEO, then being present, you will still end up in a position of being a CEO. But you'll be a wonderful CEO, a different kind of a CEO, no doubt. That's what we need, isn't it? Isn't that what we need in this world? We need more love, more peace. And the only way is to just stop, slow down, and be present. Hopefully our world will become restructured in a way that more people can be very happy in their work. That would be very beautiful. I'm sure the world in the future would include people doing work that they love more often. Probably machines doing some of the work that people hate to do, right? Machines and computers, it's already happening. So I've enjoyed this series very much. I really appreciate having been here. And I thank you for this opportunity. So I will say good night since there aren't any other questions. And I hope that you all enjoy the things on my website, radicalhappiness.com. There are lots of books, free ebooks when you sign up for my newsletter. There are some online courses, 7 of them now. And I don't know, about 12 books, something like that, 2 free ebooks. I do mentoring sessions also over the phone. So you can find out all about that at radicalhappiness.com.